Welcome to the Reach a Peak podcast experience. This podcast is for athletes of all levels who want to level up their nutrition to level up their game. Join me as I explore the world of nutrition, health, and performance. Each week, I dive into a new topic to help expand your knowledge, separate truth from myth, and change your perspective so you can start winning the right way and reach your peak potential. I'm your host, Alexa, the sports dietitian nutrition coach. Let's go. We made it. 100 episodes of the Reach Your Peak podcast experience. I want to thank you before we get into today's podcast episode. I want to thank you for being here for this journey. I'm really excited to see where this podcast goes from here, but 100 episodes, it's a milestone. As always, just wanted to say thank you for listening. Of course, if you have enjoyed the podcast up until this point, if you enjoy what I talk about, if I enjoy how I help through my podcast, I would really appreciate if you go to Apple Podcasts and just drop a 5-star review and let everyone know what this podcast has helped you with. Thank you. Okay, so today's episode's all about body fat percentages in athletes or athletic individuals. So if you don't necessarily kind of see yourself as an athlete, keep in mind that what I'm talking about is athletes of all levels. Okay, if you're an active individual, if you're someone who's just actively trying to improve themselves and you're working on a physique, maybe you're trying to get leaner, this will all apply to you. So it's a very important topic to cover because it's no secret that in the nutrition space, in the sporting space, in the fitness space, there is very high kind of focus on being lean, being muscular, looking a certain way, having a very small body fat percentage, et cetera, et cetera. There's no doubt that it is a focus. And that is why it's an important topic to cover, because there are some key nuances that you have to consider. Because it's not all about, so I'll kind of upfront say, it's not all about being as lean as possible, because you're then going to be the best possible athlete you can be. That's not how it works. There are definitely some considerations and nuances that we got to cover. And that's what today's podcast episode is about. So if you clicked, good on you, because now you're going to learn some facts. So what is body fat percentage? Well, quite simply, it's the percentage of your total mass that is from body fat. Okay, it's in the name. It's pretty self-explanatory. But when we think of body fat percentage, we think, okay, how lean are we, or how fat we are potentially. You know, it depends on how you want to view it. But that's essentially how people tend to think about it. I want to lose weight. I want to get thinner. Or I want, you know, I'm too big. I want to reduce it. That's how we kind of associate with body fat percentage. We kind of correlate it with weight loss. Okay, but there are some differences, obviously, because body fat percentage is specifically talking about the percentage mass from your total mass that is body fat. Okay, quite simple. Now, there are different ways of measuring body fat percentages. Some are more accurate than others, but some are more expensive than others, and some are inaccessible, while some are more accessible than others to the general populace. So there are a lot of considerations you're going to make, but I'm going to cover some three basic ones that we usually use in the field. Number one, DEXA scans. Okay, so DEXA scans are kind of usually considered like the gold standard. It's the one that if you can get access to one, you are willing to pay for one, because it can be one of the more expensive ones, and you don't do it too often because it's not recommended to do it too often, then DEXA could be a good one because it's quite accurate, especially if you get someone who knows what they're doing, someone who's trained to do it, then you're good to go. So DEXAs are kind of like the top standard that are still to some degree accessible to the general populace. Like, for example, in my city, I know there's a few. So that kind of thing. It's generally accessible. The second one is bioscans, or, you know, bioimpedance kind of scans. Those kind of things they're very accessible. Like, you find them all the time at like gyms and challenges, and they've got their own facilities. And it's one of those ones where you stand and it kind of measures you on the scale type thing, where you hold these handles sometimes. Yeah, those type of thing. You probably have done one in the past, and it'll give you some body fat percentage. Now, these are very accessible. They're actually quite affordable as well, but they're not the most accurate, but they could be a good starting point for some people, okay? They could be a good starting point for some people who are just getting started and they just want a general idea. But keep in mind that the accuracy can sway like the wind, okay? So you can sway like the wind depending on what you're doing, how hydrated you are, all this sort of stuff. And of course, the error in the person that's measuring you as well. So that's kind of the lowdown on bioscans. Then we got skin folds, okay? Skin fold assessments. Now, I'm an ISAC accredited skin fold anthropometrist, so I do this stuff with athletes where we look at their skin fold millimeters and determine what changes in body composition are happening. But as a body fat percentage calculator, skin folds are not, there's no direct correlation in terms of a, you know, this is your skin folds, and there's an easy kind of way to translate it into body fat percentage. There are some, and we do have some equations that we use, so I will use that to give an athlete a general idea, but they're not to be hugely relied on because there are some inaccuracies in that translation. Okay, it's kind of like that Lost in Translation. Okay, think of it like Lost in Translation. And yeah, I'm not talking about the movie with Bill Murray. Okay, so Lost in Translation, because the data that we get from skin folds is different to body fat percentage. And to some degree, I would even say that your body fat percentage doesn't really matter that much. Your body composition change matters more. Therefore, if you're using something like skin folds, that can actually be quite good because you can get an accurate idea of how your body is changing. And skin folds, they're generally accessible if you can find a sports dietitian or someone who's certified to do it. And also, it's not too expensive either. It's pretty affordable. So skin folds is like the one that I recommend most people look into doing before they look into the others. Bioscans, if they get access to it as part of a challenge or something, awesome. DEXAs, if they really want to level things up, then yeah, DEXA scans, you know, sporadically could be good as well. But skin folds are kind of the best balance between the pros and the cons of all of these. Okay. So yeah. So which one's best? DEXA. Which one's most practical and recommended? Skin folds, just in my personal opinion as a sports dietitian. So that's now that out of the way, how to kind of, what is body fat percentage and how to measure it. But what body fat percentage should athletes be aiming for? Okay, so I'm going to go into some more considerations, of course, before I get you into the ranges and the specifics of it all. But now we're going to go into the meat of today's topic. The thing that you probably clicked to listen to is what body fat percentage should you be aiming for? Okay, well, first of all, I want to explain something. Body fat percentage does not equal a better athlete. Okay, it's more correlative than causative, if you think about it. Yes, we tend to look at the pro athletes and they tend to be quite lean. Okay, they've got the physiques that we're trying to attain. And then we go, okay, and they're high performance athletes. So obviously, if they're lean and they perform that way, well, if I'm lean, then maybe I'll perform close to that amount. But that's not exactly how it works. And in a lot of sports, being a very lean body fat percentage does not necessarily translate to an increased performance, except obviously in sports where performance is judged based on subjective measures, you know, for example, in aesthetic sports. And of course, in sports where there's a lot of kind of moving your weight over distances over a period of time, like endurance-based exercise and those sort of stuff, where you got to start thinking about how much functional mass do you have and how much non-functional mass do you have, because that's going to obviously cause more slowing down and more load over a period of time. But beyond those type of those type of sports, there's no real correlation between being lean as heck and then being a very high performance athlete. It's more correlative, like I said. It's more so the fact that these athletes live a certain lifestyle, are exercising so much, and are genetically predisposed to be like that as well. That makes them lean and high performance, and therefore we associate with that. Now, I'm not saying if you've got a high percentage body fat and saying that's, you know, quite, you know, maybe of a higher percentage than you would otherwise want to, that that's not potentially causing you an issue when it comes to performance. I'm not saying that. Technically, if you can be relatively lean, that's obviously optimal. Obviously, within the bounds of healthy physiology and not pushing the limits and moving through the cycles of the nutrition seasons, which is a whole different topic. I do have a podcast episode on it if you want to search for it. But beyond that, being, you know, relatively lean as an athlete is obviously going to be a beneficial thing. I'm not saying that you have to, you know, be, you know, that you can be overweight and be the same performance that you would be if you weren't overweight. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that a lot of athletes put it on themselves, a very high stress amount on themselves, and overwhelm themselves by really pushing the limit to reach this pinnacle of lean body mass and then trying to sustain that indefinitely. And that's not necessarily healthy, not necessarily conducive to good results. And even if those things aren't a problem, it may not even be necessary, okay? And I can tell you from being very lean to not being overweight at any time recently, but just from having a slightly higher body fat percentage, being lean is not always as fun as it is what it looks like to be, okay? Because you get more tired, you get more moody, you crave things. Like, it's different ball game. Okay, so that brings me up to my next point, which is, yes, athletes want to become leaner, and we'll talk about why they want to become leaner in a second, But you got to understand that year-long lean body fat levels are not needed, and they can be physiologically an issue, especially in female athletes. Okay, so if you're very lean for most of the year and you're doing that day in, day out and exercising still, you are pushing the limits of your physiology, and that can obviously cause some adaptations that can cause some issues physiologically, as I keep saying the word physiologically. Okay. And that is why you got to consider the fact that you don't see these athletes all the time. You don't see the athletes when they're on the off season, generally speaking. They will fluctuate through these things. They don't generally stay that lean throughout the whole year. And if they do, it's usually people that are related to some kind of like fitness influencer or something like that, where it's related to their, you know, to their income to be lean all the time. But that doesn't mean that it's a good experience or that it's healthy. And even then, you can't rely on what you see online, because a lot of people will, quite simply, they'll use photos and footages and all this sort of stuff from the time when they were lean, so that when they're in the off season, you don't see that. Okay, you don't see that image of them. That is something to consider there. So you're not supposed to necessarily being so super lean all year long. There is a difference between competition lean and normal lean and normal kind of body weight. You do not always have to be competition lean for the whole year. Don't put that pressure on yourself. It's not necessary, and it might even be harmful. Okay. So with that said, now, why do athletes want to become leaner? Well, there's three main reasons. Number one is, let's be honest, look. They want to look a certain way. We as humans are vain in that capacity. We want to look a certain way. Let's just kind of address the elephant in the room. That's just the reality. We want to look a certain way. Number two is obviously health. Like, I'll just put it in there. Although a lot of athletes not necessarily always going to be focusing on health. I've seen that time again with working as a sports dietitian, but health is a really important one. And then thirdly, strength or power, whichever one you want to kind of use, strength to weight or power to weight ratio. Okay. So strength to weight ratio is like the strength you have compared to the body weight you have. So for example, if you can optimize your strength but be of a lower body fat and be of a lower body weight, then you could potentially be of a high performance in certain disciplines and certain sports. For example, like I used an example just before, endurance sports. If they can maximize the strength that they can output throughout their race while having less body fat and less of a body mass to move, they're going to be optimal. Or even CrossFit. A lot of CrossFitters want to be lean because they want to move less weight but have the same strength. So that's where strength to weight ratio comes into play. So they're kind of the three main reasons athletes will kind of want to work on their lean body fat. And none of those are right or wrong. They're just a reality. Now, with all that said, now you can see that we know what body fat percentage is. We know how to measure it. We know why athletes want a certain body fat percentage. But then most importantly, we address the fact that it does not necessarily mean that because you're leaner, that you're going to be better as an athlete. Now, this applies even if as an athlete, you associate yourself as more of like a weekend warrior athlete. Maybe you go on the weekends, or you just throughout the week, you're very committed to your Pilates, or you're very committed to your gym, or you're very committed to your social sport or your fun run. Doesn't really matter. You're still an athlete, and this can still all apply. So all of that we've kind of talked about, you don't necessarily have to be super, 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 super lean to be of a higher performance. Although in some sports, it obviously has some direct correlation. So it's just something to think about. And then we talked about quickly there also how you're not supposed to necessarily be in competition lean for the whole year. And that most, if not all athletes, the ones that are of the elite level, they don't stay the same amount of lean throughout the whole year. There are seasons for a reason, and your nutrition should follow those seasons and help optimize you in given seasons. To use a given example, like I said, go to the podcast episode to learn more about it. But to get a direct example, let's say someone is in the in-season and they're focused on fueling and performance, not health and longevity and all this sort of stuff. Well, then post-season, what they're going to have to do then is start going back to homeostasis, kind of reverse dieting for some people, back to homeostasis to improve their health, to rectify any adaptations that have been caused. And that's when potentially body fat percentage will go up. And that's normal. That is good. That is okay. Yet many people put pressure on themselves to stay lean all year long. Super lean. Okay. So yeah. So now with that said, I'm going to address the body fat percentages in terms of the type of categories that we've identified with both women and men. Okay. So women and men athletes, we're going to kind of identify all the different categories and what the kind of acceptable or ideal body fat percentage is based on on some research and data. Like, keep in mind that all of this has to be individualized to you, of course, but this is just some things to consider. So there is the category. So for both men and women, it's going to be category of essential fat, athlete level, fitness level, what's acceptable, and then what's considered obese. Okay, so we're going to break it down through those for both women and men. And I'm going to tell you which one I, in my opinion, recommend that you should be aiming for. Keep in mind, though, that it is not advice. I do not know your situation specifically. So, of course, if you do want me to help you on a personal level, one-on-one, you can reach out and we can see if you can become my next awesome client. Okay, so if that's something that you're interested in, I just want to give you some perspective. Just want to give you some guidance. So that you're not putting either too much pressure on yourself or that you're not aiming too low and causing potential issues. So without that said, without further ado, let's get into the percentages. Okay, so for women, essential fat is between 10 to 13% body fat. 10 to 13% body fat. That's like essential. That's like to thrive physiologically to some degree and have good hormonal balance, you need at least 10 to 13% body fat. Now, I do not recommend people get to that. That is pushing the limits, and I do not want any females listening to this, I do not want you to aim for less than 13%. That's not what I'm saying there. Oh, it's essential, so you can do it. No. It's just like bare minimum, 10 to 13%. Now, the next category is athletes. For athletes, for females, it's 14 to 20, okay? 14 to 20% body fat. That's kind of the aim we want to go for with athletes. Fitness is said to be 21 to 24%. Fitness now is considered more so, think potentially weekend warrior. Someone who's just working out for fitness, going to the gym, going to Pilates, but they don't have like a specific performance goal. That's what's considered fitness. Acceptable is 25 to 31. In obese level, they've categorized it here as 32%. Now, there are some percentages out there also based on age, but I'm not going to go into age. I wanted to do it categorically because I think that's going to be more conceptually obvious to you in terms of what I'm trying to say, and it's a bit more specific. So I prefer it, to be honest. But yeah, there are some age differences, obviously. But yeah, just a quick recap there. Essential fat, 10 to 13. Athletes, 14 to 20%. Fitness, 21 to 24%. Acceptable, what they consider acceptable, 25 to 31%. Obesity, over 32%. So keep in mind, these are categories that have been outlined by an exercise council out there. Okay, these are not things that I've just made up. This is how they've defined it. So that's the one for female athletes. Now let's go into male athletes. Now there's going to be some key differences you'll notice here. So for male athletes, the essential fat is 2 to 5%. 2 to 5%. Like that's like lean. That's like super lean. Okay. Keep in mind that bodybuilders, when they get to their like peak level before competition, like on stage weight or stage body fat percentage, it's around that 4 or 5%. 2%, I'm sure there's maybe someone out, but 2% is like pushing the limits extremely. So yeah, 5% is like when you really see those really ripped people with like veins and everything and just striations. We're talking that category. But essential fat, 2 to 5%. For men, athletes, 6 to 13%. For fitness, again, like I said, like more weekend warrior, 14 to 17%. Now, just generally for most individuals, we found that to see some definition in your abs, just because I know we all associate it being lean with abs, of course, to see some definition in abs, we're talking about that 12 to 13%. So when you're starting to reach that 14 to 17%, it's like you might see some definition depending on how much, how genetically you are kind of predisposed with your muscle kind of definition, but also how much muscle you have in the abdomen. But 14 to 17% is when you're just trying to lose, you kind of start to lose a bit of that leanness, a bit of that six pack, and go to more just like a healthy range. Acceptable is considered 18 to 24, and then obesity over 25. So now you can already see, so I'll recap that quickly. Essential fat for men, 2 to 5%, not recommended. Athletes, 6 to 13%. Fitness, 14 to 17%. Acceptable, 18 to 24%, obesity over 25%. So obviously now looking at those two things, you can clearly see that the ranges tend to be more upregulated. I think that's the wrong word. Kind of the percentages tend to be higher for each category for women. And there's a very, very specific reason for that. It's because reproduction plays a role in the higher percent body fats needed in women. Therefore, women will tend to have a higher percent body fat, even when they look lean. So to give you an idea, men to have a six pack, they'll need about that 12 to 13% at least. Whereas for women to have that six pack, they can be around that 20% and still have those very defined abs. So that gives you the differences in terms of how it's distributed between men and women athletes. So yeah, that gives you a bit of that context. I just want to explain that because you might have kind of been confused and been like, wait a minute, you're saying athletes 6 to 13 for men, but then for female athletes, you're saying 14 to 20. What are you talking about? It's because of the differences in the physiology and due to reproduction and that sort of stuff. So yeah. So now I've explained the different ranges. I've explained the different body fat percentages. So if you need to look at it again, just rewind back and listen to it again. And I'll be waiting here to tell you the next part. But now that I've explained all this, I've explained that you don't have to be lean all the time. What's the target? What target should you be going for? Well, like I said, I can't give advice because I don't know your situation personally. I haven't assessed you, but I'm going to give you some guidance. I will generally, for females, I will not recommend that they dip below that 15, 16% body fat. And that's talking competition because we don't want to be pushing the limits too much. Okay, so for competition, 15, 16 is the lowest limit I would go. But then for kind of the year long, while you're doing the other seasons where you're not actually in peak competition state, I recommend around that fitness level, around that 21%. Okay, that 21% or up to 24 if you really want to is okay, but not lower than 15, 16%. For men, I recommend that for athletes when they get that lean level, I would recommend around that between 9 to 12. 9 to 12 is good for competition day, in my opinion, 9 to 12. And then for the other times, around that 14, 15% is perfectly fine if you can maintain it. Up to obviously 17% because the fitness level all is okay. But then acceptable, I mean, if they want to go into the acceptable, what they've considered here acceptable, I'm not saying you're not accepted because you have a higher or lower percentage body fat, is more so if you really want to and you're happy to do that and you know you can get back. But I don't want my athletes to deviate too much. I just want them to be physiologically balanced and healthy so they can get back to competition level leanness when they need to in a much more easier way without any restrictive dieting or actions that are not really going to be healthy in the first place. So yeah, so for females around that 15, 16% minimum and then up to that 24% body fat. And for men, around that minimum of 9% and then up to about, you know, that 16% on the off season. So I hope that gives you a bit of an idea, just some guidance to get you going to understand the nuances of it, that you don't necessarily need to be shredded. Okay, let's use the hashtag shredded. You don't need to be shredded year long to be a good athlete. And in fact, you probably shouldn't be shredded year long. So I do hope this has helped you. I really hope this has given you a fresh perspective. You know, I hope I've given you the information you need to get a different idea, a different view of body fat percentages. Maybe it's giving you a bit less stress now. Maybe it's giving you just more knowledge around the whole thing. It's just an important factor because we can't lie. Body fat percentage in sports and body fat percentage in being fit and athletic and working on yourself, it goes hand in hand. People tend to associate with it. It's my job to kind of break through that and make sure I give you the right information. So I really do hope this episode has been helpful. If you've got any questions, of course, regarding anything we talked about today, reach out at alexa@theclimbingdietitian.com.au. My email is in the show notes below for spelling purposes because people can misspell it. Or you can just reach out. Okay, follow me on Instagram. I've got Instagram at @theclimbingdietitian. Follow me there. Send me a DM there. Awesome. If you're into videos, you want to watch me talk about some of this topic and also introduce you to some cool recipes. I've also got a YouTube. There should be a link below, but if not, you can find it from my Instagram as well, or just type up The Climbing Dietitian in YouTube. Pretty easy. But yeah, really, if there's anything I can help you with, reach out. We can have a chat, see what we can do there. And if you need a sports dietitian to help you, if you want to see how I can personally help you, see if we're a good fit, then reach out as well. Send me an email and say peak, okay? Because you want to reach your peak potential. Say peak in the email and we'll have a chat, see if it's a good fit and go from there. But until next time, hope you stay safe. Stay classy as always. I'll talk to you next time. Have a good one. Bye. Thank you for listening to today's podcast episode. Remember to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast so you can stay up to date whenever I drop an episode. And of course, if you enjoyed today's podcast, remember to go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. You can also find me on socials where I regularly post valuable sports nutrition content to help you elevate your sports game, elevate your nutrition game, and reach your peak potential. Simply search for The Climbing Dietitian and be sure to click follow. Until next time, stay safe and stay dedicated. See ya.